Good morning. Today is Friday, January the 10th. Joining us this morning is not the big boy, not even number two. We got a rookie with us.
That's right.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
You've trained for this.
Well, I've trained in talking.
Oh, Nick Lanius is with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
So, new battalion chief?
That's right.
Ooh, well, we'll talk about what in the world a battalion chief does after we find out if you know why we say this. It's our daily query. And yesterday, was it yesterday? 2 days ago. 2 days ago. Somebody nailed it right through the uprights. So there's a new standard. Yeah, somebody actually got one of these things right. All right. We could go with lurch. How do we get the expression left in the lurch?
In the lurch. Well, I would imagine that the lurch is probably a bad place to be, and it almost sounds like maybe a swampy area or something like that. And so if somebody was left behind, they could very well find themselves with some stuff on their shoes that doesn't come off very easily. I would guess it would be something that you don't want to find yourself left in.
I'm suspecting that when people tell you go A to B, you throw in the letter C.
Why not?
Yeah. It's how we learn. Okay. Yeah. Oh, the expression left in the lurch comes to us from the game of cribbage.
Oh.
Okay. The game is marked by inserting pegs in two rows of the holes in a board, one after the other, so the player makes a fresh score. Once up and down, the board completes the game. If one player has gone up and down the board before the other has finished going up, he wins in what is called a lurch, or double game, and his opponent, left so far behind, has been left in the lurch.
Got it. That's interesting. I played cribbage once. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah. So what does a battalion chief, what are the areas of responsibility that position has?
A battalion chief provides direct supervision to the crews of one of the platoons in the fire department. And so the staffing of the fire department breaks down. Three crews split the year into three equal pieces. The schedule that we work right now is crews work two 24-hour shifts. So that's from 8 a.m. this morning, for example, to 8 a.m. Sunday morning. And then they have 4 days off. And so it breaks down into an A platoon who would work Monday and Tuesday, a B platoon who would work Wednesday and Thursday, and a C platoon who would work Friday and Saturday.
So you kind of
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then A platoon starts over. So we're on a 6 day week, which makes scheduling things in real life a little complicated.
Yeah.
So within that, those 2 days, the battalion chief is responsible for the day to day operations of the fire department, including staffing, emergency response, personnel development, training.
So what is the chief, assistant chief, and all the other titles do if you're running the store?
Certainly. The deputy chief is the fire marshal and covers operations. So making sure it's
kind of overseeing you guys?
Yes.
The three of you?
Providing oversight to the three battalion chiefs, who then provide oversight to the five stations in the department. Yep. And then the fire chief is responsible for setting the direction and vision of the department and making sure that we all have what we need to get there. It breaks down like not bogging somebody down too much with too much to supervise. The division of labor is very clear and manageable.
Key on the manageable part, huh?
Sure.
Yeah. Five stations. That would seem like that's an awful lot. I mean, you talk to somebody who's a business owner. If they have five outlets, say five pizza joints, okay, they're going all hither and yon all over the place, and you know their day is spent probably more on the road driving than it is actually doing, sitting down, that kind of stuff. Certainly, Eureka is a tighter geographic area than what some might, but you're still going kind of pillar to post a little bit. How do you manage five locales and then still have the responsibility every once in a while of driving the big boy truck and having some fun?
Well, that is a two-part question. The first part is the supervision piece, right? Each station actually has its own supervision in place a station captain. So my supervision goes to the captain, and the station captain then supervises their crews.
So you had five guys you're worried about.
Yes, and then they're each worried about themselves and two others. And they're also responsible for managing their stations, and anything outside of the ordinary, then they kick up to me to assist with handling. You're right, there is a lot of running around, but you know, technology is a very good thing and a benefit. So with, you know, cell phones and emails and text messages and stuff like that, it becomes a little bit easier. It makes the area smaller that you have to cover. But sometimes you are putting rubber on the road. The other piece is I'm no longer able to ride in the.
You don't get to drive anymore or play?
I drive an SUV.
You're the incident command?
Yes. So okay. I'll be responsible for providing the on-scene coordination and supervision for an incident with more than one unit.
I wonder how long that'll take to purge out.
What's that?
Oh no, I don't got to go. Okay.
It did. One of my first
go outside the other direction and get in the rig I'm driving. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my first shifts, I was downtown at Station 1, and in the middle of the night, the truck company got a single unit call for medical assistance. And before I knew what happened, my feet hit the floor, and I was walking down the hall, and one of the truck company members saw me and said, "Hey, that's not for you." And so I kind of looked around and went back to bed.
Yeah. Oh, darn. Yeah. Yeah, I would think that keeping hands off is tough.
Yes, most firefighters are hands-on, working, oriented, task-oriented. They want to get in there and get the job done. It is a little bit difficult to remove yourself. You know, as a captain, which is the position below battalion chief, ideally you're training yourself to do that already by putting the tool in the hands of your firefighter and providing supervision at the point where work is being done. Now I'm just one step removed from that, providing supervision for the supervision where the work is being done.
But yeah, typically someone who's doing their job in that kind of a situation probably doesn't run up to the sidewalk and say, "Okay, guys, go, it's yours."
Right. we're trained to stay.
You go in first, and yeah. The guys follow. So to break that paradigm is, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. At this level, we're trained to stay in or around the car.
The 10-foot rubber band. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with newly minted Battalion Chief Nick Lanius. The concept, I think, Nick, of challenge and structure and things of that nature, you know, it's such a different part of the brain than what you guys are used to when you're pulling hose. Does it take a while to kind of realize that was my job, this is now my job, and just that change, like you said, running down the hall, whoops, not listening to the scanner, but waiting for somebody to make the phone call if you're needed. I mean, things like that have been kind of ingrained for a couple of decades with you, now not so much so.
Certainly. I know what I expected to hear and be directed, though, when I was on the other side, on the receiving end, and doing the work. And so to put myself in the spot to then provide that direction and those orders and make sure that the operation is shored up and taken care of in a way that all aspects are covered by the resources that we have. The people find a lot of comfort in that, and it's an interesting challenge too for me. I'm enjoying that process of being able to kind of solve those problems.
New challenges kind of thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and you don't get hurt that way.
That's true.
Yeah, that'd be saving grace. One of the things that I've asked new chiefs, and whether it's pick law enforcement or public safety, it doesn't. It's not just fire. Is you have skill sets, muscle memory, blah 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 blah, from years of doing, right? So if it's a management position, why not bring in people who are trained in management, and let the fire guys do the fire guys, the budget guys do the budget, and maybe we all kind of come together in the chief's office. But everybody gets to do kind of what they've been groomed for in and specialize in. So you could have a 25-year-old working on the budget, and it's like second nature for them. They don't need to come through fire service to understand. And we just kind of meet and say, okay, hose. Talk to me about the hoses. Okay, now I understand, and we work together that way.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. I think whether it's you're bringing in the 25-year-old CEO who's adept at
CPA, making, not CEO.
CPA, sorry. Sorry.
CPA, you don't want to give it over to a 25-year-old. Oh, geez.
Right? If you're bringing in the CPA and explaining to them the time, I think maybe the time investment in that briefing might be equal to the time investment that somebody over a 25-year career would gain in understanding the needs of the fire department and the fire service and the community that they serve. And then it becomes just a matter of them learning and training on budget requests and
how to be a CPA
procurement and stuff like that. Yeah. So it might be a wash, I think.
Oh, could be.
Or
could
even be. Yeah. Just, to just say, hey, all the hose is now nearing the end of its service life. You don't have to come up with a report. The person who's been there for a long time just go, oh, yeah, I get that.
I mean, there are pluses and minuses. Either way, both options. Grant writing, I know, is a big deal. Now, is that part of a battalion chief's responsibility, is the grant writing, or is that the guy's up the tower?
It could be. We do have a battalion chief who is a trained grant writer, but he trained in that as a firefighter. He went to a week-long class and got all of the knowledge needed to fill out the forms and provide the justification to get grants. And so that sort of institutional knowledge is important, that is not only shared, but also that person maintains a responsibility and is able to write grants, almost in perpetuity.
Oh, I thought you were saying in his sleep. Then he doesn't have to respond to the bell.
Hopefully we stay awake while writing.
Whoops. So what are some of the new things that you have to do other than as a battalion chief that's different from what you were doing before as a captain? Is it the management side of things, that there's more stuff?
There's more bodies to manage and certainly more facilities and equipment, where as a station captain, you're responsible for your station and your crew of two and the apparatus assigned. Now we're going to multiply that by five. I'm also responsible for maintaining the staffing levels of the department and making sure that all
personnel or scheduling?
Personnel.
So you're hiring, you're on that lookout now for new firefighters.
And really making sure that we maintain our minimum staffing levels for just the day-to-day.
So okay, the daily schedules,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, between, sick calls, vacation, that sort of thing.
How tough is it to say, okay, we're going to rotate? I know you guys know the numbers, and I know some people in the neighborhoods. Let's say if the one by Myrtle Grove is, how do you know when that's closed, when that's opened, or if you're doing the one by Eureka Mall, if that's open, closed? How do you determine which ones, if you are short, if there is vacation, if there is sickness coming through or something like that, and you gotta look at one of them, how do you determine which one is the one?
Certainly. Well, it's less, we don't close fire stations. There's a anticipated vacancy, that will be filled by hiring back firefighters on overtime. If something happens in the middle of a shift and it's hard to do, the station will be temporarily
a different word.
Yeah.
Yeah, not closed.
So it's the same thing. When that station goes on a call, they're not available to respond
exactly
to another call.
That's why I was, and so fine, you're in my head now.
It's where that that opening happens, then we need to consolidate our resources that we have and provide effective coverage for our jurisdiction while we can.
So you kind of do that on the fly, so to speak?
Yes.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Nick Lonius.
Lonius.
Oh, I wrote that down. I wrote I. Ha ha. Okay, never mind. New battalion chief, soon to be old friend. After a couple more of these shows, I'll finally get it right.
That's okay.
All right. Well,
with a name like that, it's
It has
odd.
To be good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you almost got the Smucker's line out.
I almost got you.
Nick, how much do fire folks need to be historians? I mean, we were talking a little bit about some of the stuff during the break, and I know for the new guys, okay, where's the street? And trying to figure things out. And then you start to understand the history, whether it's the architectural history or some of the development history. You know, well, this used to be, and that's why it's set. So you don't have some of those surprises. How long does it take before you really get to know your town?
Well, we start in the academy talking about building construction types and stuff that we're apt to see here. You know, we have a lot of
the historical Victorian
buildings.
The balloon.
Balloon frame of Victorian and a lot of wood buildings. And but also you talk about history, and I think it doesn't necessarily need to be ancient history, but really each the history that we talk about with firefighters is more about experience and just being in their area and knowing, getting to know the streets and getting to know the occupancies and the construction types, and even seeing, you know, the different types of incidents that you run, and fires and fire behavior and how fires act. You know, it definitely gives somebody, it complements their training in a way that they can begin to act on a muscle memory and start to consider other factors.
Yeah, real life experience certainly can't be replaced.
Absolutely, and aids in decision making. I mean, and ideally that pyramid is built half with experience and half with training.
Yeah, and then both can continue to grow.
Certainly, because if you just have the experience, you could make up anything you want about why something's happening.
Right. Do you guys, in the training process, or the, I guess it would be called continuing education, you know, to use some of the other terminologies, do you focus on things like physics, chemistry, biology, some of those things that, you know, when you're going through school, you're having to deal with that. But now that you realize, yeah, physics is a big deal. You know, when is that beam going to come down? Okay, what's the the temperature when that kind of material will suddenly ignite, et cetera. It all makes sense all of a sudden that you do need to know this stuff. Do you do formal training along those lines, or is it more predicated like on type of incident? Okay, if it's a hazardous material response and it's the one that I really love, paint, here's what you do and here's what you got to pay attention to. If it's a fire, okay, here's what you can expect. Here's what you can anticipate if it's a cinder block building, as an example, you know, something that's a little bit rare. How does the training come around?
Certainly. I think it depends a lot kind of in what type of incident you're talking about, like you mentioned. You know, for fire incidents, specifically in the building construction training, you know, we talk a lot about the distribution of loads and the types of loads that are in structures and the types of materials and how they're affected by fire. We don't really come out and say, okay, now we're going to do some physics and stuff. We kind of sneak that stuff
right
in there, right?
Yeah.
In
it's kind of like the vegetables on the plate for your little guys.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you sneak them in. Yeah.
That's why dessert comes out last.
Yeah.
With hazardous materials training, we have hazardous materials technical specialists, and they actually do a week of chemistry, which is equivalent to about a semester of college in chemistry, with the way that it's very intense and very labor intensive. You know, we have our ways that we get through it, but also too with anatomy and physiology, with being EMTs and at the paramedic level, which we have both BLS and ALS staff on our apparatus. You know, that's a huge amount of training and education in actual science. I mean, it's all science, but formalized. But for the most part, and even as we're talking about fire behavior, we're talking about pressures and temperature differentials and how
your fluid motion and
right, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And maybe we're not using those words, but if you go back and you read the book, then you're seeing where it comes in.
Yeah, you get lost and you end up in a college bookstore,
right?
And you start looking and you go, oh. Yeah, I know that one.
Well, we have lots of people who are coming in with degrees in fire science. We have people who are currently working on degrees in fire service related degrees, and each of those has formalized classes on chemistry and physics and stuff like that.
So, if somebody was going to a 4-year and maybe not new, but ended up wanting to get into fire service, what would be the best degree or the most the degree with the most transferable knowledge? Would it be biology? Would it be physics or chemistry? Or would it be something totally different?
I think it depends on what their intent was when they began. The best thing to do is to maybe see if the fire service is a good fit for you through volunteer opportunities, and then talk to the folks that are there to see how you can get that.
Well, this would be more of a hindsight. Gee, I wish I would have, or boy, that really helped.
Yeah, well, that's a great topic, I can tell you from experience. I just finished a 4-year degree 2 months ago.
Art?
Fire administration.
Oh, okay. Not art. Fine. You got to get used to me. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Nick Linnaeus.
Lanius.
Now I'm thinking. Now I'm thinking about it. Lanius. Oh, well, I guess phonetics and me don't get along too well. I even wrote it down phonetically. Lanius. There we go. And, you know, I got it right the first three times, too.
That's right.
That's frightening. Now I'm undoing success, which I'm known to do.
Sounds like there's been five guesses.
Yeah. All right, buddy. So the training that you guys do, either to become the next level in the system, you know, either captain or battalion chief or deputy or the big boy, is it formalized? Is it kind of by, well, you know, Nick, I think we need to focus and concentrate a little bit more in this area to fill in that skill set for you. And then when it comes to Winston coming through, well, his skill set's stronger in that area and he needs to fill in another. Is it kind of customized, personalized, or is it everybody kind of gets the same slab of meat, and what you put on it is, you know, your own choice?
Oh, both, actually. We have training standards and certification standards for every rank in the department, which are tied closely to the state regulations and what the California State Fire Marshal does. And then, of course, as people are going, and if they identify gaps or their peers identify gaps, then we work our best individually to fill those gaps.
Yeah, kind of backfill in the
Absolutely.
Weak areas.
Yeah.
What's the biggest challenge you've had so far in being a battalion chief? Other than not running down the hall and responding to an incident.
It's been more just about, you know, changing my communication style to be more open and making sure that I'm open to feedback, and that in the different types of situations. Emergency response communication is much different than a one-on-one talk with somebody versus addressing, you know, a group of 17 firefighters.
Okay, guys, here we go.
Pretty much.
Yeah, broad strokes.
And so understanding which type to apply in which situation is, it's not been difficult. It kind of comes naturally, but making sure that that's part of the awareness and the thought process that goes into it is important.
So you're still having fun?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The shine hasn't worn off quite yet, huh? I suppose that when it becomes routine and you don't have to think, you've crossed that threshold point then.
Perhaps, or then you need to look around and try to figure out what you haven't been thinking of for the last...
Oh, you don't think you're going to have helpers do that for you?
Yeah, absolutely. But the need to consider it is still going to be there.
Ongoing training. Yeah, that's something I know that it's seen oftentimes as optional. Yeah, I know some of it's contractual and you got to do. But the continual training, upgrading skill sets, things of that nature. Do you have to try to infuse that into the folks underneath you? Or is that something that either people have it and that's why they get hired? Or if they don't have it, then maybe somebody else hires them?
Well, we have a kind of a perpetual training plan for folks that are on duty. You know, in my position, I will be participating in that training, of course, at my new level, which is helpful to me. There are lots of opportunities out there. I'm probably, as a battalion chief, I'm probably not going to go to, you know, a forcible entry class that teaches you how to break down doors or break through windows and stuff like that. You know, my opportunities are elsewhere. And at the end of this month, I'm going back to the National Fire Academy.
Are you going
to
go back?
For a command and control class. Talking about command and control of incident operations. You know, that's a great place for, it's almost like college for firefighters. You get to learn a lot of the management skill set.
Yeah, specific to where you are now.
Absolutely.
In your career.
Well, and they accept you know, captains and company officers and even engineers up there as well. It's important to understand that your job and the job above you in order to be successful.
Well, don't get lost. Thanks for coming by, Nick.
Thank you so much.
See everybody tomorrow.